They did in the past 5 years here as well. So that's work on that form, and if I finish it by Thursday, I'll bring it to you so you can adopt the budget with the formal rating, meeting the requirement. So I just want to mention those things so that you can expect them. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
So I'd like to really thank Anna for the amount of work that goes into these things. I mean, it's day and night kind of stuff, and she's done a fantastic job getting it. You know, it's always that scramble at the end to get things done, and she really is working hard to make sure our budgets are in line, and I thank you very much for all your hard work.
Any explanations? Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to 5.4, approved Prop 30 Education Protection Account funding.
So that, Anna explained that earlier. What that is a number of years ago, the state was gonna take money away from the districts, and they did that, then they went out to vote, and they voted it back in. So it was taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other, but it came with the restrictions of spending it only on certificated funding, and so that's what we do, and that was in Anna's report. So we have to have approval that we're meeting that EPA funding expectation.
Yes, more questions? Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. 5.4 is approved. Okay. On to 5.5, approval of the employment agreement for 25-26 and 26-27 with WESS school secretaries.
Okay, so 5.5 through 5.11, you could take all as one group, or you can do them individually. This is all of our employees will be receiving a $2,000 one-time only payment, prorated based on the amount of hours they work for this year, and a 2.87% increase for next year, which is what the statutory COLA is. Anna had a really good slide with the Wheatland Charter Academy. I didn't see it tonight, but they're calling the additional 1.44 augmentation. They're calling it a super COLA, but the augmentation part of it, the 1.44, is not really part of COLA, and it's already pretty much earmarked on what we have to spend it. So the only group that we did not come to an agreement with on the just going with the statutory COLA is 2.87 is the Teachers Association. So they are not in this group. They are not receiving the $2,000. They are not going to get the 2.87 starting in July. They will have to come back and negotiate in the fall to come to an agreement. And I won't be here, but I will tell you that 4.31 is not going to work for our district. You can't go that high. It is, again, money that's coming to us with strings attached, and we cannot figure out other ways to pay for those things that the 1.44 is covering. So I just wanted to make that clear. All the other ones, it's 2.87 for next year and $2,000 prorated for this year. I don't want to explain it every time. You can take them individually or you can take them all together.
So can I ask a clarifying question on the teacher point? What is the, how did we go from, because I thought it started at the 2.5 and then it went to the 2.8 or, and,
yeah.
And how?
How did it go south?
How did we get at a point that, I guess I'm not, how they jumped up there and think that that is what we negotiated, I guess. I don't understand.
Yeah. So the way that when we negotiated the language, it was, at that point, it was 2.5 as COLA. They had indications from the CTA side that it was jumping to 2.87. We did not have that information yet. So we wrote the language to say that you're going to get a 2.5, but if COLA goes up, you'll get the difference. And then we use 2.87 as an example. At no point was anybody even thinking of 4.31 or anywhere near that. So when the governor's budget came out and he did this super COLA, the union, the teachers union, jumped on that as being the COLA. And so they had a meeting with their teachers and said, basically, you're going to get, based on the language, you're going to get 4.31, and if the district doesn't give it to us, we're going to take them to PERB, which is, in Sacramento. Well, and they told them, keep that quiet. Well, of course, that doesn't happen. So we got wind of the fact that they were going to shoot for this 4.31 and take us to court over it. And so since you guys had not approved it yet, I didn't bring it to you for approval because there's no way the district could sustain a 4.31, especially if you did it for everybody. All the other groups, they had the same written agreement. I went back to every single group and changed it from 2.5 or COLA to 2.87. And they all agreed to it, knowing that the 4.31 is unreasonable. But the teachers did not agree to it. And you've probably seen some of the things I've sent out saying, look, you're giving up a $2,000, which is equal to 2%, one time off schedule, to try and get 1.44 on schedule. So you're automatically losing money the first year, but ongoing, it would benefit them. I could not get them to come back to the table. They said, oh, we're going to check with all of our members. They didn't do that. I think what's happening is we have a small group of union negotiators that are keeping things to themselves and not telling the teachers, and so therefore there's no agreement.
So I see, we did get those emails. Have you gotten any feedback from the other members, other
No.
teachers to say?
I have not. The principals have heard.
To say, hey, we would like this, what?
So they didn't have an opportunity.
To them to re-vote on the new language.
They did or they didn't go back?
They did not go out to vote.
Even though you've heard from individual people who want to go to a vote.
Yeah, the problem is that the negotiation team holds all the cards, and if they decide not to take it back out to their constituents, then there's no way those teachers can vote. And if they don't, and because it's so close to the end of the year, they weren't able to apply any pressure onto that negotiation team, which is very unfortunate, in my opinion. Because even the retired teachers are going to walk out. They're not going to get anything for this year. They're not. And so they walked away without getting $2,000, which is kind of unfair. But they have to pull the trigger, and it's very typical of unions, teachers unions, to not negotiate over the summer. They just feel like that's their time and they're not going to come in and negotiate. That's going to be harmful in this particular case because they're going to push it till the fall and then the budgets are going to say what the budgets are going to say. So it's pretty unfortunate where it's gone. I was telling, I don't know if it was Andrew, on a, earlier, in my 16 years, we've always been able to come to an agreement with all of our groups, including our teachers, because we never had a CTA rep there. The instant they brought in a CTA rep, things go sideways, because he's telling them one thing and we're telling them reality, but they don't want to hear reality. They want to hear what it is that they want, and that's a higher paycheck.
So what is the likelihood of going to PERB and all that? Because that gives me PTSD right off the... Go. No.
Well, because we never brought it to you for approval. If we would have brought it to you for approval and you guys would have approved it the way the language was written, then they would have had a very good chance of taking it to PERB, and PERB typically sides with the unions. But because we never brought it to you for approval, then they have to renegotiate. And so they could try to say we negotiated in bad faith, but I talked to our attorney about it, and she said they're not going to get anywhere with that because it never went to you guys for approval. So, and because of the fact that during negotiations, not once did anybody go above 2.87 as the thought of what the amount would be. It was not even in anybody's wheelhouse that it would be 4.31. They actually came to us at the last minute and said, how about we just do 3% and call it good? Now, had we known what we know now, then, you know, it probably would have been a decent deal. But we didn't. We said, no, because it's not going to go above 2.87. That means we have to come up with that difference to pay you. And
And it's kind of sad because at this point, what if things drastically change and we say,
we can't even afford the 2.87.
We can't, exactly. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it's they're gambling, I believe. I don't think they're doing it right. I think they're getting bad advice. And unfortunately, because of who their negotiating team is, they are not looking that far forward. And the other teachers need to get involved in their belief that they had a good deal. Because even at 2.87, if every other district gave 4.31, which nobody's going to give it, but, well, maybe some will, but growing districts could probably afford it, but that's about it. Even at the 2.87, we're still significantly above all the other teachers' pay throughout our county and Sutter County. You have to go down to places like Granite Bay and those places where you're going to find a little bit higher salary schedule at the high school level, but not at the elementary level.
And in your emails back and forth, you were very explicit about where that 1.44 difference was and how we were supposed to spend it as the super cola.
Right.
What that money was supposed to be spent on. And they didn't see that, they didn't understand that?
Oh, they know it. But they still believe that our one-time only monies could be used for ongoing costs. But we all know how that works. You spend your savings, and then the bill comes in the next month and your savings is gone. How do you pay it? Right? So they just have a different belief that that COLA should be completely passed through, and they're not differentiating between the statutory COLA and the augmentation. They're calling it all COLA, because the governor used the word super COLA, which bites us all by using that term. If he would have just given us 1.44 and said this is augmentation to pay for pregnancy leave and all that, then we wouldn't be where we are now. So. And the thing is that every other employee in our system and their negotiating teams all understand that. But the teachers are not listening to what we're telling them. They're listening to their CTA guy who at the first meeting said, you know, we can strike. I said, well, good luck with that. It's an interesting place to be with the teachers group, because I think it's three or four people controlling the entire group and the rest of the group not standing up to what they believe.
So with that, do you have a problem if we take 5.5 to 5.10 and agree with that all at one time?
5 to 5.11.
5 to 5.11.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with it.
Okay, can I have a motion to accept 5.5 to 5.11, please?
I will motion to approve 5.5 to 5.11.
And a second?
I second that.
I'm sorry, did you say I second?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. 5.5 to 5.11.
Anna just got more work. You just got more work since you're doing payroll.
Okay.
Oops. Is that going out on this net, the one like in a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sleep's overrated.
I'll sleep. We know it's just all weekend.
And if you can't sleep, you can just open up the LCAP and you'll be good to go.
Hey. At least have her open up the budget, not my LCAP.
That's awesome. You can
have it for 3 days. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, on to 5.11.
Okay, so this is our legal agreement with DWK, which is the legal team that is taking on our issue with the Butte College situation. And we have to have an agreement with them so that they can charge us accordingly. So that's what this is, and it's 26 to 28. And honestly, if they do the job that we expect them to do, we'll probably be using them more in the future, or you'll probably be using them more in the future. They're a very good law firm. So.
And where are they based out of?
Sacramento.
Any questions, comments, concerns?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I should have probably got to you before this, but what is the plan as far as how much we're going to use them? Is this just to get us ready for a potential lawsuit? Because right now it's just a demand letter.
Yeah,
so they're just preparing us for a possible.
Correct. What we've used them for so far is to request further information regarding their demand letter by asking for public records on emails and all that between them and the auditor and them and the high school and so on and so forth. So it depends on how long it goes and how far it goes. At some point, if the college walks away, then we're done with them. If they don't, then we have to decide at what point do we, I mean, you can negotiate a different amount. You can do all kinds of things with that program. I will tell you that I don't believe, and I'm not a lawyer, but I don't believe that the district can ever be forced to pay that money back. The way the state forces you to pay money back is they just withhold it from you. But this is not, the state gave the money to be sent out to schools, and they're not asking for it back. The state is not. So I don't believe that they can force us to pay it, even if they went to court. But why go that far if you don't have to? So at this point, there are going to be the group that we originally went to Kingsley Bogard, which is your next one, because that's our normal attorneys, but they had a conflict of interest because they also represent the high school. And then we went to another firm that does our special education, but they're not grant lawyers. They don't understand the process, so they turned it down as well. And then I got DWK's information from Yuba City Unified because they have used them extensively for this kind of thing. So we're going to put up a fight for sure. What I think what a lot of these people do that sue you is they hope that you'll look at how much it's going to cost you in legal fees and give them the money back instead of paying the legal fees. But this one's more of a, to me, it's more of a, I think we have the, our kids benefited from this money. It was done the right way, and we should not have to pay a dime back. But as we go along, Ange will keep you guys informed of where we are in the process. And I will be back anytime to go to court, to do whatever on this particular case, because I believe in it so much. So. And I won't even charge the $400 an hour that the lawyer to charge.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
So moved.
And a second?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, 5.12 passes. Up to 5.13. Approval of Kingsley Bogard Legal Services.
Okay, so Kingsley Bogard is who has been our attorneys for many years here in this district. And every year we bring an agreement. They did not raise their prices from last year to this year. We don't use them very often, as you know. I mean, Nikki knows when the district used to spend $400,000 on attorneys, and if we're lucky, we spend 10 grand. So we're not really a priority to them anymore as we used to be. So we kind of get put on the back burner occasionally. They're gonna probably be needed with the negotiations happening because of then bring in CTA. And I always had an agreement with our group here that you don't bring CTA and we won't bring an attorney. But I think at this point, given some of the bantering back and forth, it'd probably be worthwhile to have somebody in there. And I also think that down the road, you should evaluate whether Kingsley Bogart is your best for legal services. You may end up going to DWK for all of it at some point. DWK is much larger, has a lot more attorneys. Kingsley Bogart is a small firm, and they used to give a lot of individual attention, and they did a great job working with you guys on the superintendent's contract. And honestly, I've been really happy with them, but I do think that it's something to consider each year on whether they're the right firm for. But for this next year, you're going to need them, I think.
What about like for Brown Act training and stuff like that?
They do all the Brown Act training. That's who did it before when we went to the county. That was all Kingsley. Oh yeah, they would do it all. Yeah, because it's a lawyer thing. Brown Act is a lawyer thing. So DWK would do anything that we want in the future, I would think. But Kingsley Bogart, the county does use them. And so if you went to a Brown Act training that the county put on, it'd be Kingsley Bogart at this point. And that's another thing to think about is that because of the high school and the county and us all using the same attorneys, Plumas Lake doesn't. Anytime we have a conflict with either the county or the high school, our attorney isn't going to be able to represent us because there'll be a conflict. Won't be able to represent them either. But sometimes it's better to have a different firm. If there's, we haven't had the issues, but if we do in the future.
So this agreement doesn't lock us into anything?
No. All this is telling us what the costs are per hour, and it's up to us or the district as a whole on how much you want to use them and what you want to use them for.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, can I have a motion to accept them, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Kingsley Bogart is.
Is this next one going to take a little time?
No.
Okay.
Do you need?
I got to go to the bathroom.
Go!
He's dancing.
Drink my water.
Good job.
We'll all stand here and wait for you.
Yeah.
We need the Jeopardy music.
Yeah. Also, just so you guys are aware, we're not planning on doing the PowerPoint and the budget again on Thursday. If Taylor or Kristen have any questions, we're happy to meet with them individually, or they can get a copy of that. But. Rob, ready? Association of California School Administrators. I don't know what they're doing right now. Oh, I think they're in Tahoe.
Yeah,
Region 2 is always in Tahoe at the same time as you do LCAP. That's why I was never able to go, which didn't break my heart. Well, they have to do their LCAP too. Is there another one tomorrow?
There's one tomorrow. Which I know this one she might know her son.
Yeah. I've gone to those before, and you're sitting way in the back with 500 people in front of you. So.
Well, actually, no, because when Colonel Peterson left, he had a spot up there for school as well, and a
good
parking
for
spot and everything. Yeah.
Okay, so you have approved all of the policies previously. Remember we went with SSDA to write all of our policies. Well, we were one of the guinea pigs, the beginners of their program. And so since then they've had a couple of legal challenges. And so they had to rewrite some language. And so instead of bringing those individual ones, trying to figure out which ones they were, I just brought the whole packet again to you. You'll approve the whole packet at the next board meeting. And it now has an index, and there's a resolution that you need to pass at the next board on Thursday. The one thing that we were running into was the website availability of our people being able to get on there. Well, now they have a new one that's an AI-generated website that will take our specific board policies, and people can ask it questions, and it will pull out what it needs out of the policies. If you wanted to know, like, you know, what is the
Lice policy,
or yeah, whatever. You don't have to go through and look at.
There's like a glass where you can type in the question.
Yeah. So.
Search engine.
It's basically a search engine, but intelligent with the artificial intelligence. So that's going to be available to us. It's already done. Melissa and I got it the other day. So this will come back to you for second read on Thursday. Again, there's nothing new and glaring in there, and it should be easy schmeasy.
Vote on it on
Thursday.
Okay, so that's it, unless there's any other board comments. Nope. Okay. Can we have a motion to adjourn the meeting at 6:12?
A motion to adjourn at 6:12.
And a second.
I second
all
that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.